Hey, listener, are you happy with your current chicken wings? Do you wish you had something a little saucier? If you answered yes, then it might be time for you to break up with your old chicken wings and get a new honey. Lemon pepper wing from Popeyes. Share the wings with your friends so they can see it's time to move on, too. Head to Popeyes and get 6-piece honey lemon pepper wings for $5.99. At participating U.S. restaurants. Price may vary.
This is 2.5 years age.
Okay.
That's Anejo. That's the daddy.
I like the rose gold top.
Uh-huh. And you don't need to mix that with nothing.
Oh, wow.
What'd you say?
Wow. There ain't no bite on it.
No, it hit you the right way.
You got something.
Yes, sir.
For sure you got something.
Yeah. A real tequila drinker gave me the okay.
And it's organic.
Don't panic, it's organic.
Wow.
We had to fight to get a meal. Yeah, wrongfully accused. We had to fight to get a pills. That's why we write to get a deal. He on the team, he gotta eat, you know. Despite your skills, fat. Keep it riding for the fam. You gotta light the wooden wheel straight up. But in the past bag, work up in the trash bag. I'll pass a lie to take the test before I pass class. Yeah, and my family needed bread. I had to come correct. That's why I keep airing it out like I just passed gas.
You've been married for, you know, a long time.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay. I said 4 carats is big enough. He ready to pop the question. He ring searching right now. Okay. So now he like, okay, how big should the rock be? I said 4 carats is good. He talking about 15 carats.
He said it's based off 10% of my salary. But I told him
I feel like that's the formula. Can anybody, somebody Google
isn't that?
I feel
like it's like one month of your salary.
1 month?
Yeah.
Wow.
So what you think, Coach? How'd you go about picking a ring, and did you update the ring? Give us a little bit.
Oh, no, I picked it at the time when I was a young coach.
Yeah.
So I didn't have that kind of money.
Or was it when you was the head coach making M's?
No, absolutely. So this worked out right for me.
Yeah.
You know, I was a young coach, and, you know, you go into the boutique and you find something you think that looks right.
Mm-hmm.
And that becomes the ring. And then as you start to climb the ladder a little bit, they start looking in the boutique and they want what they want.
I don't think they ever not want what they want.
Absolutely. Well, I think at that time, if you're, you know, eating Kentucky Fried all the time and McDonald's because you don't have it like that.
McDonald's.
And then you got to graduate. But
right.
But you're right. I mean, eventually they're going to want what they want.
So let's get to it. Michelle, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's boss lady.
Mm-hmm.
How big is the ring? Did you upgrade the ring? You got paid. How many contracts you get?
It's been upgraded. It's big enough.
How many times?
It's big enough.
It's big enough. Trust me. It's big enough.
All right. Cool.
But is it about color, clarity? Because they're trying to figure out the size. They're talking about, I need...
See, that's
99 carats.
It is definitely about color.
Does that matter?
No.
Does the size matter?
Clarity and what it looks like on your hand.
That's
right.
That's it.
That's
right.
I haven't gotten a call yet from him
about what?
To tell me that he's looking for a ring.
Ooh. Oh, I was caught on the spot. You got to see, this is all new to me.
Okay.
So I didn't get a chance to come to you before actually taking that next step. So in everything, there's a game plan, right?
Right.
So
right.
I haven't executed, but what I'm doing is I'm going over my X's and O's.
Okay.
And when I get to the point of executing the play,
you'll let me know.
Always come to the coach.
Okay. All right. I want to make sure that I am involved in this with you.
All right. So just you heard the OG. Mm-hmm. Clarity.
Clarity.
The ring. I'm talking about the ring.
Yeah.
Make sure clarity. It's nice now. So look, we had a whole series on I Am Black, and we talked about so many things. Mm-hmm. It's really focused on the experience of being black. But your tequila brand, do you feel supported by your people?
You know, Brandon, we're working at that. I don't know that people really know much about us yet.
Yeah.
I think we're, you know, we're in the baby steps right now, but we're ready to step our game up.
Yeah.
You know, we're the only black tequila owned business in the world.
Yeah.
And Durrell Spann, I'm his partner, and we're gonna do everything we can to scale it because we truly believe in our packaging, but more so than that, we believe in the juice. We think what we're putting out there is really good.
You hear what he says, that juice. You hear what they say?
That's right.
Well, yeah. Fancy.
Absolutely.
And it's a good product too.
Yeah,
I'm it's a solid drinker, product.
And it's smooth.
Yeah. What Coach is saying basically is, now, obviously, spirits is a crowded space, but marketing is huge, is key. Just looking at the packaging, You know, I mean, you got a the rose gold, the black and rose gold. That's sexy. But then when you look at a lot of tequila tops, and I've tried a lot of tequilas, you know, don't paint me as a lush or anything like that.
You're a connoisseur. But
kind of a connoisseur, though. You feel me? That top, like just the weight, what you put in your water bottle.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know, I talked about the water bottle
last week.
This is eco-friendly. That's organic. Look at the back, the labeling on the back.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that all premium takes into effect.
So, I mean, there's a couple ways we can go about it, right? Like, I just feel like we're in this space now, 2020, where, I mean, it's a tough year, but it's like the year of the black dollar.
Here's the thing. If you're not putting your money, if you're a black person and you don't spend time and resources to put your money into the black community, I think you're doing a disservice to everybody.
So I guess my question is, one, if you're going to do something, do it right, right?
Right.
Like we want quality.
And you can tell that's been, I don't even drink and I can tell it's been done right.
Well, take a sip, man. This is your coach, boy. Take a sip, man. For your coach, boy.
I tell you, there's one thing in life that I've been extremely disciplined about. It's about not consuming alcohol.
Okay,
And that ain't going to change.
Okay, I got you.
I thought we were going to try to get E ratings up real quick. See, that boy do flips and everything.
So with all that being said, do you feel like we are trending in the right direction as far as supporting our community, supporting each other? You know, it's one thing to say, you know, like, oh, that's dope. But like to actually like that picture, to actually go buy it.
People don't not want a discount.
No. Yeah. Oh, not want freebies.
Well,
you know what I think, though? I've always said exposure leads to expansion. The more we're exposed to, the more, you know, the further we could go. As a people, I mean, you go back to slavery, they didn't even want us to read. How are we going to know if we don't know? You know what I'm saying?
That's true.
So the more we're exposed to, the more of an opportunity we get to grow. Right?
Hold that thought.
Okay. You know, and I think with hip hop being the biggest influencer on our culture, on the world, more than our culture, because other cultures come into our culture, right? You know, you got Jeezy talking about Fendi and Gucci is goofy.
All that.
Like, it ain't about the name brands. Stop going so far to the left. Let's support the people that want to see you do well. You know, but I think the one thing we got to get away from, though, as we learn, is that crab in the barrel mentality. I'm going to pull you down. You know, well, support your people, but don't run in there asking for a discount. You're not going in the other store asking for a discount
or a freebie.
But support your people.
But it's not just that.
Support
you. I think it's important that we understand everybody right now with an Instagram account thinks they could be a millionaire by starting a business and producing shirts and stuff like that. Right now, I'm at a point in my life where it's about quality, not quantity. And I've learned over the years, I can have 5 pairs of jeans, and as long as they the jeans that I like, and it don't matter if they cost me $100, I'm gonna wear those 5 pairs of jeans over and over again. Same thing, you know, Chad got a billion jeans and sneakers, but it's
getting that stuff for free, boy. And hey, you be fly though, for real, boy. I don't know how you do it. You from Miami. You be fly, boy. People be like, yo,
hold on, what you trying to say about Miami cats?
I don't really dress, though. I got to be going somewhere. You know,
bro, you be dressing, bro.
You be dressing when you're not going somewhere.
Even when you go train, you be having on. I be like, damn, why didn't I think of that? He go train, coach. He got Gucci, like, $1,000 pants on, lifting weights. I be like, that boy fly.
House shoes.
Yeah, you know what I'm talking about. You know what you're talking about. Me, get out of here.
He been a trendsetter. From Celebration to the rule changes.
Yeah, but you going to think Ocho fashion, though?
I mean, but he been doing it.
He you been can't doing be afraid.
He been just
doing
do what you do.
You clean too. I ain't know until we started this show that you be clean like this. But I want to get back.
I don't
to
even be doing that
you
shit.
You be clean.
Though.
You be clean.
I just so be doing this shit.
Everything you just said, Coach. Do you think being a part of this company and help lead this company, your experience as a head coach leading in a billion-dollar industry, do you feel like you've taken those attributes, those assets, those skills, and now it's helping you with this? And then also tell me about some of those things that we all can use to help build our brands.
I think there's no question that Durrell, who's the CEO of the company, that's what he would tell you. I'm really about the details. It's about people. At the end of the day, your product has to be available for the people. If you can't give your customers what they want, it doesn't work. They're going to go someplace else. So you have to make sure you cross every T, dot every I, and think of anything and everything that could happen. You have to think ahead, and somebody has to have that vision of what it's going to look like when it's not going well. Yeah. Not when it's going well. Yeah. We're all trying to get the money, right? At the end of the day, we're trying, but it should be the other way. It's about service.
Yeah.
Leading is serving, right? Yeah. It's making sure that the people I'm serving is getting exactly what they need. Because if I give them what they need, what's going to happen? They're going to keep coming back.
That's right.
I'm going to have them all the time, and then they're going to do what? Tell their friends, and they're going to tell their friends, and then all of a sudden we start to grow.
Word of mouth is the best advertising.
Absolutely. So that's the key.
So for me, it's interesting that you say that. At this, what did you say? You said exposure leads to what? Expansion?
Expansion.
Yeah, so like exposure, right? We got to jump in books. We got to read. In 2014, I pretty much read my first book for real. Maybe. It was Good to Great by Jim Collins. He wrote some of the most amazing business imprints. Right. So I read that Good to Great, and there's a few things I learned there, just like founding documents and like the structure. And what they did is they studied the top 100 Fortune 500 companies and the comparison companies, who went from good to great and who went out of business. Prime example, Blockbuster, Kroger, and like, where's Blockbuster today? Remember, we all went to Blockbuster.
Yeah, right. As a kid.
So there's a few concepts in there that was critical. But then he also wrote books, right? So he did that, a bunch of case studies. And then he went to How the Mighty Fall and then Built to Last, right? So you got a product, so that's good to great. You went to great. Now, how are you built to last? Not just have one good product, but your company, now we're talking about breaking generational curses and then how the mighty fall. So now once you get there, you built the last, how do we fall, right? And I say that because everything you talked about, we got to be exposed to that.
Yes.
Like everything that you're talking about from a service standpoint, we got to know that it's not just about the product. Absolutely. That's the last thing. It's people, that's process, exactly. And then product. Right. But the only way we learn that is by getting our books, listening to, you go on YouTube and just like, man, leadership, Google that. I mean, YouTube that and see how people talk about building these companies that go from good to great and built to last.
Well, Brandon, you know something that pierced my heart? Just you guys were talking about this on the show, where you were talking about creating financial literacy for your family.
Yeah.
And teaching, you wanted to get someone to come in and teach them what it will look like. That's what we're talking about. You got to have people teach people how to be successful.
Yeah.
But people got to want to understand what you're teaching too. It goes both ways. And I just think that is the key to all of this. Sometimes we don't want to go ask for help. People feel like, boy, if I do that, then my value won't be as good, or I'm asking too much, or maybe they're going to see me differently. Please go ask.
Yeah.
Go find out what you need to do to be successful.
That's good. So that was 2010, signed a 4-year, $40 million extension pretty much with the Miami Dolphins. Coach, I ain't touched my money. My money sat in a money market account, not earning nothing for 5 years. And the market was booming.
Right.
2010 on. Like, I mean, you couldn't at least get 10% if you had a good financial advisor. What I did is I took a bunch of note cards out. And I literally typed out like all the financial terms, you know, what does ROI mean, what a stock, bond, et cetera, et cetera. And when I was playing for the Dolphins, what I would do is on our road trips on a plane, I would like write that stuff down and then I would study it. And then I said, when I can sit in these meetings and understand what they're saying, then that's when I'm going to be comfortable. But it took me a couple years. Like I lost probably like $5 million I could have made in the market, my money working for me. But for me, I was like, yeah, I don't want to be that guy where they take advantage of me and I lose my money because I'm sitting in these meetings. I don't know what
that,
this stuff
means. That happens a lot, though. That happens a lot. I see more athletes lose money to bad financial advisors and bad investment and bad business ideas than I see people gain. Like, you're one of the few that I've ever seen be successful at what you're doing. And you've had your challenges.
Mm-hmm.
But everybody thinks that they could just start a business and it's just going to be booming, and or to start a nightclub and it's going to be booming, or get a tequila brand and it's going to be booming. And that's just not the case.
No.
I think people need to understand and hear the horror stories from people that have tried it and understand the discipline it takes to become successful. Everybody that's starting stuff on Instagram or selling shoes or selling clothes, hats, or whatever it may be, they want this instant gratification of getting paid and getting money right now. Yeah. And it never happens like that. You got to continue to build and harp on it and harp on it. And at some point, study, obviously, before you should study before you even do anything to begin with.
That's right.
And then over time, see, then right. you see right. the fruits of your labor.
Coach, you were supposed to be here for 5 minutes. What if conversation got good, OG?
Coach, I love the bottle. I love the setup. I love the rose gold more than that's Añejo. Añejo. But the name. The name is Gran Leyenda.
Gran Leyenda, which stands for Grand Legend.
You coach. Mm-hmm. Give me three legends. Three legends of the game in your era.
Three man. Legends you coach.
Chad Johnson.
Okay. Man, talk that talk, man.
Wait, legend. All right, come on.
Chad Johnson. I'll go with that.
What made him a legend?
You heard him?
He was amazing.
Yeah, talk to him, coach.
Not only
don't, hey, no, be real now, coach.
Real. No,
that's why people love our show, because we don't play around.
Talk to him, coach.
I'm keeping it real.
So just because he's here,
talk to him.
If he was trash, he's trash.
Brandon, I will keep it real with you. This guy was different.
Talk to him.
He studied the game. It was important to him. And I couldn't get him off the field.
Wow.
I don't care if it was practice. I mean, he would go take reps with the scout team.
Yeah. We talked about
receivers today are not like the receivers I had. Him and TJ, they were a different breed.
Right.
Those guys could go all day. You have these receivers now, they run a couple routes, they got to come out.
Right.
They had practice, I got to come out. These guys could run all day. They were just different.
A couple weeks
scout
ago.
Scout team reps.
Scout team reps.
Oh, I know.
Oh, yeah. That's the only way I can get my work, because I was going against the number one DBs.
I know.
That's the only way I can get my work.
Coach, Channing was sitting right here a few weeks ago, and T.O. was sitting right here where Brandon's sitting. Channing said that these guys were distractions. Were they a distraction, or were they motivation by some of the antics that they presented week in, week out?
Chad raised the level of intensity. That's what changed Cincinnati Bengals.
I love it.
That's just exactly what happened.
I love it.
And I understood it, and I truly believe that was one of the reasons why Marvin had me coach him and TJ and those guys, because I knew how to deal with it.
Right.
Did you ever have to say, like, bro, you're doing too much? You crossed the line.
I don't ever remember, because he would always tell me where it was going.
He would tell him ahead of time.
He would. He would let me know what he was trying to accomplish. And honestly, that's the cloth I'm cut from.
Okay, so let me ask you a question. What was he trying to accomplish with the gold? During you wasn't coaching him at that time, the gold jacket?
No, I was gone.
Okay,
I was gone at that time.
Okay, all right. Because he say he felt like he just crossed 10,000 yards, I think it
at
was.
That point, yeah.
And he was like, oh, yeah, now
I'm not finna wait for validation from them folks like y'all doing, allowing them to control your mind.
Allowing them to control your mind. Where's my camera?
They love that. The fact that they have the ability, once you're gone from the game, to control how you feel. I will never give y'all the satisfaction to know that you have control over me once I'm done playing, which is why.
You looking into the camera?
I'm looking. Yeah.
All right, so we talking about the game. I'm going to put you on the spot right now.
Bring it on.
I'm going to say a name and just talk to me.
Okay.
Baker Mayfield.
Baker Mayfield. Quarterback, Cleveland Browns, first pick of the draft. I stood on the table to draft him. The biggest regret I have is that I didn't personally coach him. I gave that job as the offensive coordinator to someone else. I'm not going to mention his name because I thought that was a bad decision on my part.
Yeah.
I think as he went through his process,
I think I know that.
There were some people who
ain't gonna get messy. Well, go ahead.
These two were good friends. There was only two new coaches we brought on the staff.
Let it get messy. He won't get messy.
But at the end of the day, I really believe that, again, you're talking about a Heisman Trophy winner that walked into a building of a 1-31 team, and he was used to winning. And so he's looking at the coach and going, wait a minute. What is he bringing to the table? He didn't understand the dynamics of what had happened the 2 years prior. That's what I really believe happened. Now, once all the antics started to happen, I believe that came from a different place. Yeah. I really do.
When you say antics, what do you mean?
When he, the gestures towards me, the things that were said.
What did he say? Because a lot of people.
If I remember, he said that I was a phony. Mm-hmm. And as one damn sure I'm not phony.
We know that.
I'm from South Central LA.
No phony from South Central LA.
No, there ain't no phoniness in that.
So you felt like when you say from a different place, what does that mean?
I believe that some people had him feel differently about who I was. And so to me, it's like anything. You need to make sure you know exactly where this person's from before you start digging into things or saying things.
No, I'm just saying, like, rookies come in, you know, they hear a lot of stuff from their agents, mm-hmm. you know, the outside, you know, influences.
Their coaches.
You know, family. You know, the first thing Belichick would say is, your family, they're morons. For the next 6 months, they don't know nothing because they're not in the building. Not that he was disrespecting your family, but you've been in the building.
I think it's bigger than that.
It could be, but I mean,
well, let me tell you what I think. And you pull me back if I'm going too far. And I'm not talking about no racial thing. I don't know Baker. I never met Baker. I don't like his game. I wouldn't want to play for him. Play with? Yeah, I want to play my quarterback.
Why?
Ooh.
Look, bruh. First and foremost, and I talk about it all the time. Me and Nick Wright, we argue every day on Fox. Until you prove it to me, don't be doing the talk. You say it all the time. These players now, they put the fame before the game.
100%.
And that's my thing.
Okay.
You the quarterback. You the man. Like, yo, I get that to you. Cool.
Right.
But right now, until you prove to me that you're a Pro Bowler, real Pro Bowler, real all-pro player, you win a Super Bowl or something like that, then I'm going to follow you. But with the antics. So that's my thing with Baker.
He can't show his personality.
He can be himself.
You seen Brady do that?
It's a different vibe.
Brady's not from Baker's generation.
Did you see Peyton Manning?
And then also,
Peyton's not from Baker's generation.
Did you see Aaron Rodgers do that?
Aaron Rodgers is not from Baker's generation. This generation
do
is
you
flashy,
see
Deshaun bro.
Watson doing that?
I see Phillip Rivers do it.
Stop.
Philip
has called across the field to me and said, "Hey, Coach Jackson, what are you doing today?"
Ooh.
And we beat him.
This is a guy you can go win with.
You can't win with Baker. They're 9-4.
Let's talk about Nick Chubb. That man ain't got to throw the ball like he had to throw the ball a couple years ago.
So you believe in Baker?
I ain't saying that.
No, what are you saying?
What I'm saying is...
I'm telling you this from a receiver standpoint.
Is, when you look at what
I
Nick
like
Chubb...
Him, like, people get on me all the time, like, why are you saying run the ball? Why are you saying lean and play action?
Baker's having his best season from a touchdown to interception ratio.
Yes.
He doesn't have to throw the ball as much as he had
Correct.
To throw the ball.
That, and
right?
Guess what? You know what that's called? Coaching around him. That's what that's
you
called.
You have to.
Exactly.
That's the NFL.
Well, maybe I'm... Because I had this debate every day around Baker Mayfield. They're like, well... You know, why do you keep saying run the ball? And it's with Nick Wright, my partner. But why do you keep saying run the ball and play action? Well, because, like, Baker is not the guy who's going to drop back 40, 50 times.
He can drop back 40, 50 times?
No. No, he cannot.
Chad Johnson, I ain't going to call you Ocho.
If I was out there playing receiver, yeah.
He can do. Yeah. Hold on. Hey, yeah. Brandon. What he can do, Jim McMahon, Rex Grossman, and he can do Blake Bortles. Two of them went to the Super Bowl. The first
Rex
two.
And lost.
Right.
To Indy.
Yeah, I mean, to Indy. Because
defense.
That offense was much stronger than their defense.
And a running game.
Also, I'm just throwing in Blake Bortles because Jacksonville had one of the best defense in the history of the game that particular season 3 years ago.
That was a sick defense.
Yeah. That was a crazy defense.
Yes.
Now, look at what the potential, the potential of the Cleveland Browns defense. What they have. No.
Potential.
What they have.
You said it right.
We're in a crazy year this year in COVID. But what they have on paper.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, they got a stick.
You're right.
But Baker, with the run game and the defense, that's always been the formula in the NFL, regardless of the rules.
But here's my problem.
That's
with Vegas.
Why he's having, not in this era.
No,
it still works in this era. It still works in this era.
That's the foundation.
Hold on.
That's the foundation.
Running the ball is not going to work in this era. You're not going to win games like that.
I want to hear from the two offensive players and the head coach. A running game and a killer defense. You can't win a championship?
San Francisco 49ers.
Opportunity, bingo.
That's who they were in the Super Bowl because of what you just said.
Because of what you just
being
said.
Being able to run the ball and great defense.
That's the formula.
That is one of the biggest
things.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. But what
it's
happened
pass happy.
In the Super Bowl, you have to throw to win, okay? I mean, you have to run to score, but you throw to win.
100%.
Break that down.
Because what happens, yards per attempt and the National Football League is one of the biggest indicators of the opportunity to win.
Bingo. Big plays,
it's,
baby.
It's not rushes. People think it is. The physicalness of the game, of being able to run the ball and being able to dominate the opponent, is very valuable.
Show up fourth quarter.
And if you can do that, you have a chance to win a lot of games, especially if you have a good defense.
You said you felt like the antics from Baker was coming from a different place.
Right.
Do you think it's because you were black? And there's the perception right now. The NFL just launched its diversity plan, and Troy Vincent said, this is just one of many things that we're going to do. The Rooney Rule is broken. The first thing he launched was, look, we need to incentivize our clubs to develop and promote black talent at all levels.
To me, it comes down to who are they comfortable with? And now owners like the Miami Dolphins, Steve Ross, he goes out of his way to hire, promote, elevate minorities. Organizations have not done a good enough job, in my opinion, and this is where the Rooney Rule is broken. With Hugh Jackson, elevated from Cincinnati and he became an offensive coordinator, I believe, with Oakland Raiders?
Yes.
Okay. He got that opportunity. Where are the people of color? How often are they getting an opportunity to become offensive coordinators, defensive coordinators, special teams coach, assistant head coaches? I'll tell you, they're few and far between. And that's where the dividing line is, because there aren't going to be too many Sean McVays where you go from quarterback coach to head coach immediately. You just jump and elevate. But that happens to them.
Yeah.
It does not happen to us. And we have to not only get that offensive coordinator job, but then knock it out of the park and do dynamic. Look at Kansas City in terms of
Eric Bieniemy.
Like, how many damn top five offenses does he have to do to finally get over this hurdle of he had some drama in college that keeps preventing him from getting a job 20 years later? What is that
but
about?
That tells you all you need to know. That tells you all you need to know. The fact that they have to incentivize people that have a preference on what they like and what they prefer, they're telling you all you need to know. And that's what we continue to talk about and try to bang down a door when they don't want you there. Yeah. That is basically all they're f-ing saying.
They don't want, it's not that they don't want you there. They don't want to give up control of their league like the NBA has given up control of their league. They're very uncomfortable.
No doubt. But people have to understand, you got to walk all this back to the start of the league. Minorities were not involved in the league when the league first started.
Right.
In order for a black to play in the National Football League, they had to go to court.
Oh, wow.
And that was 20 years or 30 years after the league had started. People don't forget that the first minority head coach was 60 years after the league started. So today, this is the 100-year history of the National Football League. There's only been 18 minority head coaches.
Wow. And how, so that's roughly how many head coaches you think?
Hundreds.
Absolutely. Yeah. So my point is, you have to go dig into these things in order to understand it better, because the minority start point is way different than our Caucasian brothers' start point. Yeah. And that's what people don't understand.
Dang, we got you here on the show. There's so much we can talk about.
Hey, can I eat a donut?
Yeah, you can eat a donut. You Ocho.
Baby, can I get a donut, Ocho, please?
All right, so what's going on? Sit down.
Wait, why are you?
Sit down. Do we got a mic to pick up this? Can we, anything to pick this up? Coach, we talk a lot about marriage, and you just found out that this dude trying to pop the question.
She's beautiful.
She's beautiful?
Yeah.
All right. It's got to be more than beautiful, though.
He didn't say she was pretty.
I know him extremely well, and for her to be here with him says to me that she's special.
Okay, she's special, and you said he didn't say that she's pretty, that she's beautiful. What does that mean?
What's the difference? Yeah.
I mean, pretty women come and go.
That's true.
I mean, beautiful, for me, beauty is in, it's your soul. Like, what do you present? How do you present yourself? People, age will knock you down quick, so he says she's beautiful.
You know when it's right, Chad, when you know that this person makes me a better human being, and I can't live without her. That's when you know.
Amen.
And you shouldn't get married if you
they gotta add value to your life.
Absolutely. They gotta make you a better man.
Absolutely.
No question about it. And you shouldn't do it if you don't feel like, oh, well, she's taken away from me.
It's got to be your ride or die through it all.
Do I add?
Yep.
Ocho said he just wanted a donut.
I just wanted a donut.
I mean, it's cool, but we know who we're dealing with. We are dealing with.
What we dealing with?
I can honestly say your career has really taken a big turn. You're no longer, like, you talk that shit about wanting to play again.
Yeah.
But you're a media person now.
He's been a media person for like 5 years.
But you're a full-time, I mean, he just knows the answer. He knows how to attack people. He knows how to stir up the pot.
Yeah.
That's not what we do.
Now you got everybody talking about, we got to see that Vander Mike fight.
Yeah.
I want to see it too.
Yeah.
But that was a great interview.
Yeah.
Like, you know how to push the envelope.
That's right.
You know, you're talking to Coach, you know, you're asking questions about Baker and this and that, the whole thing.
You're right.
Because Baker hot right now. We're going to go viral for Coach.
It's not irrelevant. It's good points. Coach brings a lot to the table.
That's right.
Talking about minorities in the sport, you know, the timing, the history, the whole thing. And I'm gonna let you get your camera. No, I'm going to give you a camera real quick.
Not my camera.
I just want to say shout out Coach Tomlin. He's represented a lot. 14 years coaching. Ooh. Never a losing season.
Same organization.
65% winning percentage as a coach. I don't know how many times he's been to the playoffs. We're talking about Steel City, what he's done. I mean, we're talking about Coach Cower. We're talking about Pittsburgh.
Huge.
Probably the most winning coach.
There's a possibility. But me knowing Mike, I think towards the end he will rest. His starters.
You think so?
Yes.
Because
I've seen him do it before. Because he truly believes he's trying to go win the chip. That's what he wants to do at the end of the day. He wants that Super Bowl. So
you think
that.
The Steelers, 15-0, going into last season, they're going to rest their starters?
I've watched them be 14-2 and rest them against my Cleveland Browns team.
Yeah, but that's a little different, though, being 15-0, though, Coach.
I still want to know why he ain't bring me in as a free agent. I want to go to Pittsburgh.
He ain't bring me in, too.
But I think what's important that you guys need to understand about him, the Marvin Lewis's, the Tony Dungy's, right, all those guys, is those guys carry the weight of winning, but they also carry the weight of their race.
Right?
Yeah, 100%.
That's so important for people to understand. They're not just the normal coach. That's the head coach. They got something else on their back that they have to make sure gets right, because you said it. You have to win as a minority.
Correct.
And Mike Tomlin's done it at the highest level all the time. He's never had a losing season. So he's carrying that the right way.
Do you want to coach again?
Oh, my gosh. Next year. Get me on the grass right now. I'm going back.
Head coach, quarterback coach,
whatever it is. I need to go back. That's what I do, Brandon. I love leading men. I love being involved in the strategy of the game.
Would you go the Herm Edwards route and go to the college level?
Yes, at the right situation.
What would you tell young Hugh Dorsey High? I mean, it was a dream, right? I mean,
oh my God. I grew up on 52nd and Hoover. I lived above a church.
Hoover.
Ooh. Absolutely. Ooh.
Bang, bang.
The Hoover Crips were right down the street.
Ooh.
Okay. So
I've lived all that.
I've been a two-time NFL head coach.
I'm one
of those 18. And I've done it twice. Now, I've done it in two organizations.
There are very few that have done it twice.
Yeah, and I've done it in two organizations that are different, the Oakland Raiders and the Cleveland Browns.
Yeah.
I tried, you know, I always run to the bear. I want to go tackle the bear because I think if
you do. So who's the bear now?
The bear right now, I don't know who the next season will be. But whatever it is, my point is when you look at Cleveland, they hadn't won. So if you go there and you win, you just seal your legacy.
Correct.
Right? So I didn't run from that. I could have said, no, I don't want to do that.
But you also took bad jobs.
That's what I'm saying. So I didn't at the time, but maybe when we say I took bad jobs, maybe I was believed that it was going to be better than what it was.
That's just that mentality, though.
It is a mentality.
Dorsey.
Oh, it is.
You coming up, you know, against the odds.
I've overcome.
So, real quick question. I'm going to put you on the spot. I'm on my Oprah right now.
Let's go.
Are you head coach worthy right now today?
There's no question in my mind I am.
Why?
Because I know how to get a team prepared. I can get them to play and follow me. And with the right things that I need.
Resources.
Absolutely. Then I can win.
So, if you happen to get a head coaching job again next year, a coach anywhere.
Don't say if, say when. We're going to speak it to an existence.
Yo, 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 this is Brandon Marshall here to talk to you about some of my favorite things to eat. The carb fear is real, but carb-heavy foods are often the ones we love the most. Hero Bread makes those same delicious favorites free of consequences or compromises. They've remade carby, empty-calorie bread products into fluffy, delicious versions that include no net carbs, 0 grams sugar, and fewer calories, plus protein and fiber. The soft, fluffy experience you love when enjoying a refreshing BLT, savory breakfast burrito, or mouth-watering cheeseburger. Something for every craving, including sliced bread, loaves, buns, and tortillas. And they have monthly small batch drops of indulgent favorites like the 2 gram net zero hero croissant or the 1 gram net carb hero cheddar biscuit. Don't give up being a breadhead. Hero Bread is offering 10% off your order. Go to hero.co and use code athlete at checkout. That's athlete at hero, hero.co.
Want to make mom's day? Get to your Nordstrom Rack now and score amazing deals for Mother's Day, which is Sunday, May 12th. Find tons of gifts from only $30 at Nordstrom Rack. Fragrance, jewelry, luxury bags, activewear, beauty, and more. Save on Kate Spade New York, Stuart Weitzman, and Ted Baker London. Great brands, great prices. So shop your Nordstrom Rack store today and treat mom to the good stuff from just $30.
On May 10th, Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes is coming to IMAX and theaters everywhere.
What a wonderful day!
This summer, one movie event will reign.
It is our time.
Apes hunt humans. That is wrong.
Bend for your king.
Never.
Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Only in theaters May 10th. Tickets on sale now. Rated PG-13. Some material may be inappropriate for children under 13.
With the Wells Fargo Active Cash Credit Card, you can earn unlimited 2% cash rewards on purchases you want and need. That means you earn 2% cash rewards on what you want, like season tickets to watch your favorite team, and 2% cash rewards on what you need, like paying for parking. The Active Cash Credit Card is ready when you are. With unlimited 2% cash rewards, the Wells Fargo Active Cash Credit Card, that's real life ready. Terms apply. Learn more at wellsfargo.com/active. Cash.
Oh, you know where we from.
What is the possibility of me coming back?
There's always a chance with you, son.
Hey, scouting department of Miami, what? South Miami.
You know, he came to Cleveland for 2 days and coached. He did.
He was horrible,
and,
wasn't he?
And he disappeared.
Yeah.
I'm being honest. I said, Chad, where are you? He said, Hugh, I had to go.
He left?
I left.
I
couldn't do it.
It's not for everybody.
Oh, yeah. No.
Coaching is not for everybody.
Because I'm thinking I'm coming to coach and be with the receivers, talk with them, not X and O's in there drawing up scout team plays. And they go, what?
Yeah.
I got up out of there so fast.
The time element was a little much for him.
All right, so look, real quick. Thank you for joining the show.
How many carrots is too many? Is too many carrots? Let me do my reporter thing.
Yeah.
Wow. I have a small hand, so I don't want a big. I'm more of a clarity. I want a good clarity.
Okay. And why is Chad the right man?
He's a great person. He's very selfless, and he knows how to treat a woman. Okay.
Mm. Is this all a game though? Cause like he always, you know, doing stuff, leaving big tips. Is he really a nice guy?
He is. He definitely is.
Really?
I don't know. A lot of people be faking cause they famous.
He's a great person.
I've been faking.
All right. So bro, why you change your number? Cause today I got a text and it said, yeah, you talking about reporter. Hey, come here. Hey, I'm on my O, but it ain't Oprah. Cause of Omar Kelly's baby. Why you change your number today? And you say, Bree Marsh, this is my new number. Yeah, you thought what you thought this was? Y'all on the hot seat. This the red table.
And listen, she deboed me, right? So I had the same number, what, 15, 13, 13, 12. Yeah, I think my phone ringing all times at night, and I forgot to put it on Do Not Disturb. So we woke up. I'm like, yo, what's up? You good? And obviously she wasn't good. So I say, listen, in the morning, I'm going to go grab some Starbucks. So I go to Starbucks, and, you know, we got into it about the phone ringing all times at night. And Boom, I pull back up to the condo. This motherfucker got her bag getting an Uber.
Oh, Lord.
And I was trying to figure out why I just called you, why you ain't answer. I'm just in my head. So I see the Uber. I see she got a little bag. I'm like, man, I pulled in front of the Uber. I pulled the minivan up, man. What the fuck going on? Yeah. And I went in the back seat and like, yo, what's up? Where you going? And
I'm going back to Tampa.
She was going back to Tampa.
In Uber.
In
no,
Uber.
So I was going to the airport.
Okay, okay.
So y'all good. Now you changed the number. She won. And y'all remember what I said, Fred. What did I say a couple shows ago? I said, boy, when a real woman tell you, like, you need to change this or I'm out of there, what you do?
Change.
Quick. Quick.
Yeah, real fast. I got the same text.
You did? Real quick. All right, so, no, I appreciate that.
Bro, fucked up, though. You don't, Debo, you don't do nobody like that, man. I felt like I was in a chokehold.
And you listen?
Yeah, cuz.
Ain't no cuz. You listen. Well, why you listen? Why? But, why in that moment did you change
gotta,
the number?
You got to understand. You got to understand. When other women see good men like Chad happy and comfortable and just content, that's when they just like, oh, he happy? Somebody else making him happy?
Coming after you.
They coming after.
Right, that's why you need a new number.
All right, make sure you speak loud, but this is good. Where else are we going with this, Coach? Where are we going with this?
Oh, I can't do much fun.
I'm trying to figure out how y'all not even on my side as men.
On your side, that's my sister, boy.
Sometimes you need a good woman to help you realize when it's time to grow up.
Because men can be weak at times when
weak.
Yeah,
I left 225.
How you deal with this? How you deal with this? For real, for real.
I don't pay him any mind.
That's good. No, I'm happy for you. I'm happy for you, but like, I don't appreciate you, for real, for real. I don't appreciate you retweeting and re-Instagram and reposting my post when I'm talking about, because here's the situation. I said four carrots. I'm glad you cleared it up and said the clarity is more important. Women, she's right. But
look, Brandon, I was just trying to put you guys out there more. You know?
That's what you
I had to give them something to look at. So.
That's right. That's right. I appreciate it. Hey, go close on another house so we can get that Prada bag.
That's cheers. What I'm talking about.
A Prada bag. All right. Oh, you know, we going to spend all of your money, man.
I'm hey, proud of him, though.
Hey.
I am.
Yeah, congratulations.
That's right.
About time you grew
I'm
up.
I'm proud of you.
About time you grew up.
She's a beautiful woman. And you deserve that. And behind every good man is a strong woman.
Oh, behind? That. But because you know the new phrase is beside.
Well, here's the key. I've always said this. Like, the husbands are the head, right?
Mm-hmm.
But the wives are the neck.
Ooh.
See, you can't turn that head without the neck.
Ooh.
So that's how
Chef, you hear him? Is that right? Is you agree with Coach saying, the OG?
Absolutely.
So what happened when you got a crook in your neck? That's more pressure.
That's
what we got. Let me get this thing popping.
Spaghetti alla puntanesca with shrimp.
Hold on, you fancy? Spaghetti, you from Queens? Spaghetti alla
puntanesca.
Okay. Say it one more time.
Spaghetti alla puntanesca. This actual sauce is made with capers, olives, and anchovies, but Fred has a special sauce that I made without anchovies for him because he's allergic to fish.
I'm going to put you on the thing, man. Don't be
special. I know
you want me to die?
Him.
She
no,
know what I need.
T.O. last episode, he get the special
no,
treatment.
No, it's
now,
the
Fred?
Same meal, but he just doesn't have anchovies in his sauce. I had to make his sauce separate.
You just talk about strong women. Like, she know what I need, bro. She
that's right. That's a strong woman right there.
Like, I ain't no so, guessing.
So, Chef, Coach just made a strong statement talking about, like, I mean, what came to your mind when you heard him say, the man is the head, woman is the neck, and you can't do nothing without that neck? So what came to your mind when you heard that?
That was definitely a good analogy because you can't maneuver without your neck.
Yeah. Like, do you really think that a man needs a woman, right? Like, how absolutely. Powerful is a woman in a man, just that relationship, just that dynamic?
A woman, we'll see what you don't see. We're watching your back, your front, you're all over. So while you're heading out, just having a normal day, We can see the same way your parents probably tell you the same thing. Your mom, that friend is no good for you or whatever. You know what I mean? I could see.
So woman intuition.
Yes, that's absolutely. Real? Absolutely. Absolutely.
You think that's real, bro?
Your homeboy not going to nurture you. You know what I'm saying? You running, the guys running around with these dudes and these dudes be like, oh, they be blind. I got your back. Oh, I'm loyal. They throw a loyal.
How many times a dude has told you that that girl is no good for you? It's never happened.
That is so true, O.
It's the truth. They going to hold you down. Your homeboys can be blind as a bat. Like, man, it's bad.
But the women intuition thing is for real, for real?
But hold on. Let me get into something a little deep here with you. What about a woman who feels like she needs to be the head?
Well, remember, I'm old school, so.
Okay. What that mean?
I feel like the man needs to be in control. I come from, my parents, they actually had a 66th wedding anniversary on the 30th of November.
Congratulations.
And my dad was the head of the household, and my mom, she was there. She was very strong. She's still very strong-minded. But he led, and she was right there with him. You bring home the bacon, I fry it up in the pan, and I'll take care of everything in the house while you take care of everything else. Things are different now because I see it even with my oldest daughter. Her and her boyfriend, like, share responsibilities. But that's the millennials.
Yeah.
But for me, coming from...
And you don't have no problem with that.
Oh, I love it.
Yeah.
I definitely love it. I see a different respect. It's definitely different. But again, I come from a different era. Mm-hmm.
But that's interesting that you, because sometimes people, you know, they live on one end of the spectrum where it's like, yo, you know, the man is the head, women you follow. And then the new era, it's like, yo, we're in this, it's right here with everything, even our language. And so to hear you say that, it seems mm-hmm. like you're open to both.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Definitely. I think that now it's a new day and things are definitely different. My daughter cooks and he and her boyfriend washes the dishes. Well. But again, what I come from is that we cooked and we washed.
All right, can I put you on the spot real quick?
Go ahead.
So Jeezy, I said that a couple times already. Almighty Dollar, Black Dollar.
Okay.
That song is dope. On his Instagram, he put together like, you know, this whole collage of black-owned businesses mm-hmm. with the layered around the song.
Mm-hmm.
You were on there.
Yes.
How'd that make you feel when you saw Jeezy shouted you out?
Oh, it felt really good. But did you hear the part that he said? I had on a Gucci scarf, and he said, Gucci don't like black. So, but when I posted it, I actually hashtagged that. But
yeah,
again, I'm old school.
Yeah.
But I loved it. I definitely, he took that opportunity to showcase a whole lot of different black businesses, and I think that went right well with the song.
And it wasn't huge black businesses. It was
small, local. Yep.
Oh my gosh, this is good.
You like it?
Oh my god.
Oh yeah.
I'll come here every week.
I got something.
Go ahead. What you got?
Who's a better receiver, me or Brandon?
Oh my god. Wow. So I almost had an opportunity to coach Brandon when I was in Baltimore.
Oh, that's right.
We were trying to get him to come. Okay. We were begging his agent, Kennard McGuire.
Which year was this?
It was a year where Joe Flacco was the quarterback. It was Joe's first year. I was begging Brandon to come play for us.
Okay, 2008.
Brandon made a decision that's wasn't going to... I mean, he got money other places. I mean, being very honest with you. But I was disappointed because I knew what he was. I mean, this guy was... He was a freak.
You might have got a ring.
He was big. He was physical. He was tough. He was arrogant. And he knew what he was going to be. But I had an opportunity. The reason why I was so drawn to Brandon was because of this guy. Because that's what he was. He was arrogant. He was tough. He was a showman. And he played the game at a different level.
What people don't realize is they got to work to back that all up.
Oh, absolutely.
And like both of them.
Oh, yeah.
They work.
Go look at the stats. Go look at who they are. And so... both of these guys were phenomenal. Now, I coached Chad. I didn't get a chance to coach Brandon, so obviously I'm going to be a little bit more partial to Chad.
Right.
I spent so much that, look, those I hope your future wife understands that I used to get those calls at 2 o'clock in the morning.
Oh, you remember 3 o'clock that?
Do I remember it?
Hey, you know I used to call him and Marvin in the middle of the night.
Oh my God!
I would call him and be like,
"Well, what? The
listen,
time.
Hey, yo, Coach Hugh, I'm open and hang up."
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
No, dead ass.
And wanting to know what the game plan is.
Hey,
and Hugh,
2 in the morning. Hey,
yes.
2, 3, 4 in the morning.
And I'm like, Chad. What? Chad, we have meetings coming up here pretty soon.
Four hours.
Oh, Coach, it's okay. I'm good.
No, I'm not good. I'm sleeping.
Hilarious.
I just got home a couple hours ago.
Yeah.
Hey, you know, I don't club, even back then. Man, I'm asleep, 9 o'clock, 9:30. Man, by the time 4, 5 o'clock hit, man, I start ringing phones.
Oh, yeah.
No, Marvin, what y'all doing?
Man,
that was fun.
Coach, can you confirm or deny Chad? He said he lived in the stadium.
I can confirm that Chad Johnson stayed in the players' lounge at the Cincinnati Bengals training facility.
First 2 years. That's how you say your money.
And I thought something was wrong with him. And Marvin, like me, said, this man needs a house.
Yeah. Wow.
He needs to move on.
Yeah.
Out of here.
Yeah, okay.
I ain't really need a place. I could have really lived in there. They ain't make me move. I would have stayed at the stadium. I was locked in, boy.
Yeah.
I was locked in.
Anything, you know, like Chad, he all over the place, man. Ooh. Everybody love Ocho. Mm-hmm. Any stories we don't know about Ocho? Yeah. Yeah.
That
baby.
Laugh. That laugh. That's the one. That's the one we want.
No, baby.
Yeah. I can't go there.
What you got now, huh?
Yeah, I know too many stories about my son. God love him.
That's right.
We used to. I'm sure he remembers this. We used to have the bingo room. The reason why I connected with these guys is because I let them talk about anything that they wanted to for 15 minutes. That's how we started our meetings. I let them, I don't care what it was. Sometimes it was about young ladies. It was about politics. It was about just life. It was about family. And
that's a great strategy.
We grew together because I got to know them on a different level. They got to know me on a different level. And then we took it to the next level. We would always go eat together on Thursdays after practice. We would go to P.F. Chang's. They would feed us for free, and we sit there, and it was just like another extension of that meeting.
Yeah.
And I needed to know them. I needed to know what made him tick, and TJ, and Chris Henry, and all the rest of them. I mean, they were just different.
Ooh,
they were different.
A whole other conversation.
Yeah. God, they were different.
I'm pretty sure the masses, and not just me and us in this room, because, you know, Chad, he was just in Jacksonville a few weeks ago, and people, they came to me. I was up there doing some stuff for the Jaguars. And they said, hey, Ocho in town, I know you guys do the podcast together. Is he real? What kind of guy is he really? And I told him, you know, I was like, what you guys got on the film all these years, you know, that's part of the game. That's game day. That's what you saw. But when you pull him out of that situation, out of that environment, he has a good heart. He's a real solid dude. You know what I'm saying? He's going to bend over back from anybody. Somebody told me you left a crazy tip at a restaurant in Jacksonville.
Recently.
He leaves a crazy tip.
That was just recently. He do it all the time.
I know he do it all the time, but
it was like $960 or something.
I forget what restaurant. I'm trying to think of the spot.
Miller's Ale House.
At the Ale House. I was going through the stadium, and they was like, yeah, Chad's upstairs. I was like, yeah, I'm going to holler at him. He's like, yeah, they also say we was at the wrong place at the wrong time because we ain't get the tip. He left like a $900 tip or something. But he's naturally, when people ask me from the show, he's naturally a good dude.
He's always been that way.
What I'm saying is, the question I'm going to is because people know him from the stuff that he did on the field. They thought he was a distraction. How much of a leader was he in your receiver's room?
Before you go there, but there's more to the story. He always do that. Yeah, I mean, he was always a trendsetter, 100%. And he also did, like, you know, hey, meet me here, and I'm going to pay for the first 100 people, et cetera, et cetera.
Oh,
but no, but the tip that he left, I don't know if you saw that part of the story, the dude actually needed the money. Like, he was crying, bro, on social media saying, like, man, Ocho's left me this tip, and I was about to lose my house, my mom needed X amount of whatever medicine. And I might be chopping up the story a little bit, and this dude on social media crying because he left that tip. Did you know?
That's the part of it that doesn't get covered by the media.
They don't understand.
You know what I mean? Yeah,
they see.
That's not a huge story.
They see the river dance. They see the jacket. They see the looking through the lens.
Because they're going to get a few million.
You just said it.
Opinions.
People don't know his heart.
Right.
I got to know his heart. That's why I wanted to know him differently and my whole room differently, because what you just described is true. I used to have so many reporters call me after the fact, since Chad stopped playing, going, who is he really? Boy, I've heard he's like this, he's like that. I go, where'd you get that from? Well, somebody from over there said, I go, who's that somebody? You know, people take narratives, as you know, and they run with them. They run with them. They don't get to know the real.
That's the exact same reason why I didn't judge you when you got to the Dolphins.
He putting balls.
I learned from a lot of those experiences. Like, you can read the stories and you can see same thing when you got to the Dolphins. So I was like, nah. I ain't. Like, when you get to know people and you get to see who they are, that's when you really, you know, get to understand. Like, people underestimate how intelligent you are. Like, everybody underestimates how intelligent you are. Like, nobody understands how intelligent. I know how intelligent you are. And the people who play with you know how intelligent you are. But they don't realize you're, like, at this level of intelligence, to the point where you would sit in meetings and blow up at these coaches and tell them what they should be doing, and everybody on the team like, yeah. But
you have to agree. Yeah. Oh, you have to agree, though. But that's just totally stereotypical of the NFL player.
Yes, right. Jock.
Because we're not all just jocks. No. I mean, we all are trying. We all are trying to find a way to give back or trying to be more educated. Hell, that's what this show is about.
Yeah.
I Am Athlete. I text you a couple days ago, and just the name of the show, you know, you're really, it was the basis of you're more than an athlete.
Way more.
Right? And that's what everybody needs to see. You know, I've gotten feedback where they say, you know, Brandon's this or Chad is this, you know, Channing, he's this.
But at the end of the day, based on the little that they know from what the media has portrayed of them, from but that, media that's, members that's, who don't know them.
That's the entire, you know, spectrum of guys in the NFL. You got some knuckleheads and hardheads because they just don't know any better. They just need you to pull them aside and say, look, man, stop f***ing around. Like, this is what we're after. And you'll get some guys and they'll gravitate towards that. Perfect example for me, Pac-Man Jones. I told Pac, like, bro, come on, man. The NFL is much, much bigger, dog. Like, you're not going to be here much longer if you keep doing, you know, what went down. And that was after the Vegas thing.
Yeah.
Pac, he got in line and he ended up extending his career another 8, 9, 10, whatever, however many more years. But it just takes that leadership to pull these guys. Because, like I said, the lack of experience and the lack of exposure because of our backgrounds and we didn't come from that. But when we have people that can pull us and we can gravitate towards those people, we can get them to gravitate towards us, then they have an opportunity to be better people. And I really think that's what this show is going to do. At the end of the day, they say we drop gems. We ain't looking to drop gems. We're looking to give you our experience. You know what I'm saying? We're talking from here before we go anywhere
and
else.
And I think that's the beauty of this show. That. A lot of what y'all have gone through, not enough of you have shared that with the young generation.
But we haven't had the platform to share it either.
That's true.
This is perfect. Oh,
and if they did, they were afraid to. Because you might lose your value.
Correct.
Because it's what Fred said a second ago. Let's be honest. The league is 70% black players. So there's a culture in there that people look at. And because you listen to loud music, you listen to rap, you wear gold chains, you do these things, people see you differently.
Right.
And we have to understand that. And so you're now being judged way differently than who you really are.
Right.
So then, like I said earlier, the narrative start to run, and then people go, oh, he's a bad guy.
Because we didn't have control of the narrative.
Absolutely. You don't even know who that guy is. So when it's time for you to stand up and say who you really are, someone tells you, be careful what you say.
Right.
Because somebody might take it the wrong way. And all it takes is one person to take it the wrong way, and your value goes down.
We're not normalizing the free on this show. We're going to give it to you how it's supposed to be given.
That's why.
And that's what it is.
Absolutely.
Like, we are people first.
That's true.
We are athletes, but we are people.
As a media member, I've always looked at them as people. They've gone through experiences. They've lived through things. They've endured things with their family. They've supported this person. They've tried this venture. They've grown and experienced. You know how many books this man has recommended to me and pointed out to me? And if you say that, people will be like, Brandon reads books? Yeah. And I'm like, why would he read books? Yeah. He has. If you think he can understand a playbook and process a playbook and create and go for a game plan and then execute the game plan, why couldn't he read books about investment and about leadership and about, you know, personal growth? Like, you know, it's you know, Chad, for instance, people don't understand that Chad is one of the most caring human beings. Like, it don't matter. Like, I hung out with Chad one time and he brought out a celebrity and a mailman.
Yeah, that's dope.
And he hung with them both.
Both ends of the spectrum.
And he hung with them. That's Chad. Yeah,
what's the dude's name from your hood? He ain't got no teeth.
Pork chop.
Yeah,
pork chop.
You made pork chop famous.
Remember the homeless
you
man?
Know pork chop.
Remember the homeless man I had with me for like 2 years?
All right. Hey, look, can we get Pork Chop on the show?
He's in New Orleans.
Damn, Pork Chop, come back. All right, real quick, because like we got to end this sort of show. So we had an amazing conversation.
This was today phenomenal. Was good.
This That's is the locker room, man.
Today was good.
And we got Coach Hugh Jackson. Coach, real quick. 2014, what that year, what stood out to you the most that year?
I had a heart attack.
Mm-hmm. I didn't know that.
A lot of people did. I was afraid to share that because I thought people would see me differently. You know, you become damaged goods, and that would be a reason why you can't continue the climb.
Ooh, that's good. Why are y'all coaches trying to kill yourselves?
I mean, it's like players in my mind. If there's always somebody ready to take your place.
Wow.
I mean, you have to understand it that way, you know? And so at that time, I just became the coordinator. And you got to remember my history. I was at Oakland as a head coach, had to come back to Cincinnati and coach on defense. If you go look at the teams I was on, I couldn't stay at one team.
Right.
Because I knew if I wanted to have a chance to ascend, I needed to coach a quarterback.
Got it.
And so that's what made me go from place to place. There's other places I was a coordinator in title.
Right.
But I wasn't calling the plays and I wasn't coaching the quarterback.
Right. Mm.
It didn't happen for me until I went to Baltimore to become the quarterback coach of Joe Flacco, help draft him, try to get Brandon to come, right. He didn't come. And then that led me to Oakland as the primary play caller, quarterback coach, and in charge of all the offense, where we went from 31st to 6th.
So I'm going to scale it down for the people at home, right? You might want to invest in a fast food chain. They tell you got to come in, you got to work in here, you got to be the manager, general manager.
Got to clean up at night.
You got to clean up. You got to know the business inside out. So what Coach is saying to the people at home is he hit it from every spectrum. Mm-hmm. Because normally, you know, running backs, former running backs, you was quarterback in high school.
Uh-huh.
But not on the other levels, right?
Right. Absolutely.
So
in college, I was a quarterback in college.
Quarterback in college. But in the pros, normally if you're going to be in the pros, and you're a quarterback, it's easier to make that transition to a coordinator than eventually coach. Not so much from the running back position or any other position for that matter. You know, so what he did was he took his skill set, you know, in every position, and then he parlayed that.
Absolutely.
And eventually became a head coach.
But I knew in order to do it, I had to coach the single most important position in the National Football League.
Right.
That made, they couldn't tell me no anymore.
Right.
100%. How do you tell me no? You can't tell me no. because right. I've now coached that position and I've coached it well.
Point blank period. End of what is this episode? What? You know. That was awesome, guys. That conversation was
close us out.
You liked it? You enjoyed it?
I loved it.
Yeah, it was good. That felt like the locker room.
Coach, we appreciate you.
We had to fight to get a meal, yeah, wrongfully accused. We had to fight to get the pills. That's why we write to get a deal. He on the team, he gotta eat, you know, despite his skills. Facts. Keep it riding for the fam, you gotta light the wiggin' wheel straight up. Look in the pass bag, work up in the trash bag. I'll pass a lie to take the test before I pass class. Yeah, and my family needed bread, I had to come correct. That's why I keep airing it out.
At Capella University, you'll get support from people who care about your success. From before you enroll to after you graduate, pursue your goals knowing help is available when you need it. Imagine your future differently at capella.edu.